but well-muscled, his gray hair and beard neatly trimmed. He was a refined captain, his dress impeccable, as at home in a grand ball as on the open sea. Now his eyes, so light in hue that they seemed to reflect the colors about them rather than to possess any color of their own, revealed his tension. Rumors had followed the Sea Sprite for many months that the pirates were organizing against the vessel. With confirmation that this caravel was allied with Pinochet, Dudermont believed that this might be more than a chance crossing. Drizzt glanced back at Robillard, who was up on one knee now, arms outstretched and eyes closed, deep in meditation. Now the Drow understood the reason Dudermont had put them at such a reckless speed. A moment later, a wall of mist rose around the Sea Sprite, dimming the view of the caravel, which was now barely 100 yards away. A loud splash to the side told them that the catapult had begun firing. A moment later, a burst of fire erupted in the air before them, dissipating into a cloud of hissing steam as they and their defensive mist wall streamed through it.
"They've a wizard," Drizzt remarked.
"Not surprising," Dudermont was quick to reply. He looked back to Robillard. "Keep your measures defensive," he ordered. "We can take them with ballista and bow."
"All the fun for you," Robillard called back dryly. Dudermont managed a smile, despite his obvious tension. "Bolt!" came a cry, several cries, from forward. Dudermont instinctively spun the wheel. The Sea Sprite leaned into the leeward turn so deeply that Drizzt feared they would capsize. At the same moment, Drizzt heard a rush of wind to his right as a huge ballista bolt ripped past, snapping a line, skipping off the edge of the poop deck right beside a surprised Robillard, and rebounding to tear a small hole in the crossjack, the sail on the mizzenmast.
"Secure that line," Dudermont instructed coolly.
Drizzt was already going that way, his feet moving impossibly fast. He got the snapping line in hand and quickly tied it off, then got to the rail as the Sea Sprite straightened. He looked to the caravel, now barely 50 yards ahead and to starboard. The water between the two ships rolled wildly. Whitecaps spit water that was blown into mist, caught in a tremendous wind. The crew of the caravel didn't understand, and so they put their bows in line and began firing. But even the heaviest of their crossbow quarrels were turned harmlessly aside as it tried to cut through the wall of wind that Robillard had put between the ships. The archers of the Sea Sprite, accustomed to such tactics, held their shots. Caddy Bree was above the wind wall, as was the archer poised in the crow's nest of the other ship, an ugly 7-foot-tall gnoll with a face that seemed more canine than human. The monstrous creature loosed its heavy arrow first, a fine shot that sank the bolt deep into the mainmast, inches below Caddy Bree's perch. The gnoll ducked below the wooden wall of its own crow's nest, readying another arrow. No doubt the dumb creature thought itself safe, for it didn't understand Talmoril. Caddy Bree took her time, steadied her hand as the Sea Sprite closed, 30 yards. Her arrow went off like a streak of lightning, trailing silver sparks and blasting through the feeble protection of the caravel's crow's nest as though it were no stronger than a sheet of old parchment. Splinters and the unfortunate lookout were thrown high into the air. The doomed gnoll gave a shriek, bounced off the crossbeam of the caravel's mainmast, and spun head over heels to splash into the sea, quickly left behind by the speeding ships. Caddy Bree fired again, angling down, concentrating on the catapult crew. She hit one man, a half-orcish brute by the looks of him, but the catapult launched its load of burning pitch. The caravel's gunners hadn't properly compensated for the sheer speed of the Sea Sprite, and the schooner crossed under the pitch and was long gone by the time it hit the water, hissing in protest. Dudermont brought the schooner alongside the caravel, barely 20 yards of water between them. Suddenly, the water in that narrow channel stopped its wind-whipped turmoil, and the archers of the Sea Sprite let fly many of their arrows that sported small gobs of flaming pitch. Caddy Bree let fly for the catapult itself this time, her enchanted arrow blasting a deep crack along the machine's throwing beam. Sea Sprite's deadly ballista drove a heavy bolt right into the caravel's hull at sea level. Dudermont spun the wheel to port, angling away, satisfied with the pass. More missiles, many flaming, soared between the ships before Robillard created a wall of blocking mist behind the Sea Sprite's stern. The caravel's wizard put a lightning bolt right into the mist.
Though the energy was dispersed somewhat, it crackled all about the edges of the sea sprite, knocking several men to the deck. Drizzt, leaning far over the rail and straining to watch the caravel's deck, with his hair flying wildly from the energy of the lightning bolt, spotted the wizard amidships near the mainmast. Before the sea sprite, now running perpendicular to the pirate ship, was too far away, but Drow called upon his innate powers, summoned a globe of impenetrable darkness, and dropped it over the man. He clenched his fist when he saw the globe moving along the caravel's deck, for he had hit the mark and the globe's magic had caught the wizard. It would follow and blind him until he found some way to counter the magic. Even more than that, the 10-foot ball of blackness marked the dangerous wizard clearly. "Catty Bree," Drizzt called. "I have him," she replied, and Tall Maril sang out, once and then again sending two streaks into that ball of blackness. Still it continued its run. Catty Bree hadn't dropped the wizard, but surely she and Drizzt had given the man something to think about. A second ballista bolt soared out from the sea sprite, cutting across the bow of the caravel, and then a fireball from Robillard exploded high in the air before the rushing ship. The caravel, not agile and no longer equipped with an able wizard, rushed right into the explosions. As the fireball disappeared, both masts of the square rigger were tipped in flames, giant candles on the open sea. The caravel tried to respond with its catapult, but Catty Bree's arrows had done their work, and the throwing beam split apart as soon as the crew cranked too much tension on it. Drizzt rushed back to the wheel. "One more pass?" he asked Dudamont. The captain shook his head. "Time for only one," he explained. We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Passage to Dawn, Book 4 in The Legend of Drizzt, Legacy of the Drow series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.